Blog Talk Radio.
Significance, few deaths, and some events. George Danton of the Great Terror after the French Revolution, or during the French Revolution, when first they guillotined the royal family, Marie Antoinette and Louis XVI, and the Dauphin, the son, was thrown into a jail and believed to have died of pneumonia. The daughter was sent off to Austria, where Marie Antoinette was born. And then they had the purging of France. You had Robespierre and Danton, and they had these tribunals, which were like kangaroo courts, French kangaroo courts, and eventually the revolution ate its own. And Napoleon came on the scene, became first consul, and he became a dictator. That's much later on. And of course, a lawyer was involved, typically. Among the other birthdays today, we have Alfred the Great, founder of the English Navy. BBC British Broadcasting did a survey of who were the 1,000 most in the 1,000-year history of Britain, who were the most important historical figures, and Alfred the Great, who defeated the Vikings and the founder of the British Navy, the English Navy, was one of the most important people in the history of that country, of that blessed island. Excuse me. So, do you like Posties and Post cereals? Well, Charles W. Post was born today. He was born in Springfield, Illinois, about the time of Abe Lincoln. And he had one child, Meriwether Post, and we've had a university or college, C.W. Post College, set up in Long Island after him. He was about the same time as Dr. Kellogg in Battle Creek, Michigan. He's the guy that started Kellogg's Corn Flakes and the other products, cereal products. So he had two big American cereal makers, Post and Kellogg. Today also is the birthday of Leon Trotsky, a.k.a. Bronstein. He was the founder of the Russian army during the Russian Revolution. He could be called a bourgeois communist. He had a falling out with Joseph Stalin, and Stalin forced him out of Russia, reportedly with a pack of borzois. Stalin tried to have him assassinated, and they tracked him all the way to Mexico, and where Leon Trotsky had set up a compound, and he allowed this guy who was supposed to be a journalist into the compound, or his guards did, and this guy, Stalin's assassin, killed Trotsky with a pickaxe, and spent over 25 years in Mexico. Mexico did not have capital punishment for these. It's very interesting because capital punishment is on the abolition of capital punishment is on the California ballot. And we did do an interview earlier this week. We'll probably replay it Monday from a former inmate, now citizen, who had some views on capital punishment. He had been around several of the prisons in the California correctional system. He spent about 15 years, so he's an authoritative figure. Also today, and so here's we're going to play two excerpts from Trotsky. He's talking about, first of all, it's Trotsky in exile, and it's a rare audio tape.
Dear comrades and friends, I hope that this time my voice will reach you and that I will be permitted in this way to participate in your double celebration. Both events, the 10th anniversary of our American organization, as well as the Foundation Congress of the First International, deserve the attention of the workers and comparably more than the warlike gestures of the totalitarian chiefs, the diplomatic intrigues, or the pacifist congresses. Both events will enter history as important milestones. No one has now the right to doubt. It is necessary to remark that the birth of the American group of Bolshevik-Leninists thanks to the courageous initiative of comrades Kennan, Schachtman, and Abern didn't stand alone. It approximately coincided with the beginning of the systematic international work of the left opposition. It is true that the left opposition arose in Russia in 1923, 15 years ago. But regular work on an international scale began with the 6th Congress of the Comintern. Without a personal meeting, we reached an agreement with the American pioneers of the Fourth International, before all on the criticism of the program of the Communist International. Then, in 1928, began the collective work which after 10 years led to the elaboration of our own program recently adopted by our international conference. We have the right to say that the work in this decade was not only persistent and patient, but also honest. The Bolshevik-Leninists, the international pioneers, our comrades across the world, searched the way of the revolution as genuine Marxists, not in their feelings and wishes, but in the analysis of the objective march of events. Above all, were we guided by the preoccupation not to deceive others nor ourselves. We searched seriously and honestly. Some important things were found by us. The events confirmed our analysis as well as our prognosis. Nobody can deny it.
Now here's another excerpt from a speech by Leon Trotsky. He's a very important character because his grandnephew was Philip Bronstein, was born in L.A., not too far from Mexico, and later became editor of the San Francisco Examiner when it was owned by the Hearst. And Phil Bronstein also was supposed to have been married to an actress. Last time I saw him was at the American Editors Conference here in San Francisco. But here, Leon Trotsky is talking about Stalin's purges, and there were the notorious Stalin's purge trials where he decimated the Soviet army, killed various leaders of the NKVD, which was a predecessor of the KGB, and now we have the Federal Security Service. I guess that's what Putin's calling it. Anyway, here's Trotsky's speech on Stalin's show trial.
Esteemed audience, you will easily understand if I begin my short address to you in my very imperfect English by addressing my warm thanks to the Mexican people and to the man who leads them with its merit and courage, President Cardenas. When monstrous and absurd accusations were hurled at me and my family, then my wife and myself were under the lock and key of the Norwegian government. Without being able to defend ourselves, the Mexican government opened the doors of his magnificent country and said to us, here you can freely defend your rights and your honor. Naturally, it is not a sympathy for myself or my ideas which has motivated President Cardenas, but a fidelity to his own ideas, all the more meritorious then in his act of democratic hospitality, the rare his days. Stalin's trial against me is built upon false confessions, extorted by modern inquisitorial methods in the interest of the ruling clique. There are no crimes in history more terrible in intention and execution than the Moscow trials of Zinoviev Kamenev and the of Pyatakov Radek. His trials developed not from communism, not from socialism, but from Stalinism, that is, from the irresponsible despotism of the bureaucracy over the people. What is now my principal task? To reveal the truth, to show and to demonstrate that the true criminals hide under the cloak of the accuser. What will be the next step in his direction? The creation of an American and European and subsequently also an international commission of inquiry, composed of people who incontestably enjoy authority and public consideration. In confidence, I undertake to present to such a commission all my files, thousands of personal and open letters, in which the development of my thought and my action is reflected day by day, without any gaps. I have nothing to hide. Dozens of witnesses who are abroad possess invaluable facts and documents which will shed light on the Moscow framework. The work of the Commission of Inquiry may terminate in a Greek counter-trial. A counter-trial is necessary to cleanse the atmosphere of the germs of deceit, calumny, protestation, and frame-ups whose source is Stalin's police, the great PU, which has fallen to the level of the Nazi Gestapo. Esteemed audience, you may have many violent attitudes towards my ideas and my political activity for 40 years, but an impartial inquiry will confirm that there is not a stain on my honor, both personal and political. Profoundly convinced that the right is on my side, I wholeheartedly salute the citizens of the New World.
Now, that what sounded like a cock crowing in the background, maybe that was a warning. And so I don't know, the cock crowed more than three times. Now, the American Communist Party was very active during the Depression. And in World War II, the United States was allied with Stalin to defeat Hitler. And the party party song and the International Communist marching song was called the Internationale. A piece of music was put together with the various anthems of the Allies. Arturo Toscanini, who was anti-fascist and anti-communist, was the conductor of the NBC Symphony Orchestra. And here is an excerpt from that. It's called the Hymn of Nations, and interspersed within the anthems of the Britain, France, United States is the Internationale. And I think Toscanini later regretted this, but here it is. After every communist party gathering, this was their marching song, the Internationale. Among the other events today, talking about media, John S. Knight was born today. He was the founder of the Knight Ritter papers. They're not as big as they used to be. We had the great black gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, who made famous this song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." She had a great contralto voice. Another black senator, first black senator from Massachusetts, who in World War II was an OSS operative. He was a light-skinned black, an OSS operative in Italy. And maybe they thought he was Abyssinian because Italy had claimed Abyssinia or Ethiopia as one of its provinces when Rome ruled the region and ruled the world. Brooke married an Italian woman and later got divorced, had two daughters. He was Attorney General of Massachusetts and a later U.S. Senator, and also reportedly had an affair with Barbara Wawa. Great British actor, Bo Hoskins, his birthday today. Now, one of the really most interesting British murder films, Chicago Comes to Britain, the film The Long Good Friday, highly recommended for people who like British crime movies. And then we have, if you watch The Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak was born in Chicago on this day. And another Illinoisan, Hillary Rodham Clinton, was born today, 1947. And, of course, I don't know, maybe she has some more October surprises for us. Among the deaths today, of course, was the great Alfred the Great, the father of the English Navy, and William Paley, who was born in Chicago, started a cigar company or inherited one. The Russian Jewish ethnicity, the name was actually Palevsky. He married a woman called Babe, gorgeous looking woman, and very famous. And Paley started, with the money from his cigar company, started Columbia Broadcasting System with a bunch of radios. Also, people like Mike Wallace, Robert Trout, Walter Cronkite, Harry Reasoner. CBS was probably the leader of all the broadcasting companies, a national broadcasting company, which was started by another Russian, David Sarnoff. And also they founded, put together the NBC Symphony Orchestra with the great Arturo Toscanini. Among the events today, the First Continental Congress met today. The Erie Canal opened up. In 1863, in the middle of the American Civil War, the Red Cross was founded. The Worldwide Red Cross was founded in Geneva. And later, Clara Barton, who was a nurse on the battlefields, founded the American Red Cross. In 1876, the South was still going through the aftermath of the Civil War. The president had to send federal troops down to South Carolina, and it went on for many years. In 1909, we had the first Soviet Workers' Council gathering, and of course, Leon Trotsky was there, Lenin, who was still alive, Joseph Stalin, all the big Russian leaders, and of course, Leon Trotsky, a.k.a. Bronstein, was forced out of Russia after Lenin's death in 1926. We have Sweden and Norway were, Norway is a province of Sweden, and they finally broke up. The union was dissolved in about 1909. Margaret Sanger reportedly nursed Adolf Hitler. She was arrested for obscenity, and that obscenity was preaching birth control. And of course, Obama had spoke and supported Planned Parenthood, very controversial organization founded by Margaret Sanger, who was also a racist. In 1942, another Navy episode here, the USS Hornet was sunk in the Coral Sea, and then its successor is now over, berthed forever over in Alameda, at the former Alameda Naval Air Station in California. In 1957, the Pope, Pope Pius XII, started Vatican Radio and did its first broadcast. In 1958, Pan Am did the first transatlantic flight from New York to Paris using the first 707. And in 1984, this is very controversial at the time, Baby Faye had a baboon heart transplanted, but she only lived 21 days. Now, among the events that should be of interest and have cases of national interest is we have this controversial sheriff in San Francisco who the mayor tried to fire, but his name is Mayor Karimi, got back in through they didn't get enough votes on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to keep him fired. But the first thing he did when he got back in, because he was elected in a controversial election where he may not have even been eligible to run for sheriff, Mayor Karimi started registering the inmates and prisoners in the San Francisco City Prison and County Jail, which there's questions about using the jail, a jail anywhere, as an address for voting, for registration and voting. And we don't know how many of these people are felons, and they can't vote anyway. But as I understand it, that federal law says that you cannot use a jail as your address to register to vote and to vote, and to use that as the voting address. Now, the cell phone scandal, we did an earlier interview with a former inmate of the California Department of Corrections, and according to the interview, that people like Manson were getting two cell phones, and these cell phones cost the inmates as much as $1,000, which the guards extort, corrupt guards, I should say, not every CDC guard is corrupt. Corrupt guards bring these cell phones in and sell them to the prisoners. And now, so that's where that problem is coming from. And, of course, the way the system is set up right now in the contract with GlobalTel, inmate, if he wants to call to his family or to his lawyers, has to make a collect call, and these calls can cost as much as $15. Who has that kind of money? So we're going to see where this goes, and we propose that the inmates be allowed to get calling cards. Of course, the guards and the prison has a right to monitor those phones. Then, of course, we have another case of national importance where the same the former sheriff, a guy named Hennessy, been in office for 32 years, a walking justification for term limits, when there was a nun, a 76-year-old Roman Catholic nun who was arrested in a civil rights disturbance. She was stripped naked, thrown naked into a cold cell. Other women had this happen to them as well, were treated that way in San Francisco. Contrast this treatment with what happened down in the South during the civil rights demonstrations, where the sheriffs and public safety officials arrested clergymen and women, and civilians, and they threw them into the local prisons and cells and jails, but they never strip searched anybody. There was one incident in Mississippi where black civil rights demonstrators who were arrested were stripped to their underwear, but nobody was stripped naked and thrown into a cell with a lot of other people, and women certainly weren't stripped. It just goes to show you the hypocrisy of the left up here in California. So these are among the major controversies with that San Francisco jail system. Also, during one of the elections, the sheriff also, as part of his duties, is to safeguard the boxes that contain the ballots. Well, the ballots were found floating in San Francisco Bay, as well as the boxes. Apparently, they didn't put enough rocks in the boxes to sink the boxes, and these ballots were found floating as far north as Point Reyes, which is about 30 miles away. And, of course, what's interesting is that we don't know how much vote fraud is going on in San Francisco, because every time we bring it up, it gets ignored. It's typical of the how things get censored and suppressed in our media. Even with cell phones, iPads, and all the new inexpensive communication devices, we still have a lot of material, a lot of news that should be published that is censored. So we'll be back Monday, and we'll have more interviews. I still have some editing to do, and we'll end with our usual politics and poker. We're getting pretty close to the most important election in probably modern American history, where if Mr. O is reelected, who shouldn't have been elected in the first place, we will continue to go down the path of what appears to be Soviet communism. Or if Romney is elected, well, as I told one legal immigrant to the United States who witnessed the revolution in 1968 in France and in Poland, I said, well, it's the Mormons' turn. We've had Catholic, we've had a Jew running for vice president, we've had a lot of Episcopalians, we had a Native American who was vice president. And it's the Mormons' term now. That's the way a lot of them feel, and they've made a contribution to the country. And we'll have something very interesting about San Francisco and Mormons. So we'll end tonight with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Toss your five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met 'em.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet 'em.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call the bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Well, I don't know what's going on, folks, but anyway, we'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. Have a good weekend and go to our...
I'll say,
raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.